Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you here to Broadview Church of Christ. For our members this morning, such a great opportunity we have to come together, praise God, remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. Such a blessing to be here with you this morning. For our visitors, thank you so much for being here. It's an honor for you to choose this body of Christ to worship this morning. We wish and pray that as you continue to travel today, that you will be safe in your travels. And I know all the teenagers look forward to an exciting week of being at camp and learning more about the Word of God and getting excited about being a Christian, getting excited about the love of God. My name is Adam Pogue. It is a humbling opportunity I have to be a preacher of the Word of God, and an opportunity that I love so much, and I thank the saints at Broadview for giving me this opportunity. This morning, I hope you had the opportunity to grab one of the handouts, the outlines that we have in our bulletin. If you're visiting with us, you'll notice in the inside of the bulletin, there'll be handouts for this morning's lesson as well as tonight. I hope you'll take that and follow along with us as we study this morning, One Nation Under God. This is truly an exciting time of the year for me personally. Tomorrow, as a nation, we'll remember the 4th of July, the Independence Day of this nation. And I got to tell you, this is one of my favorite holidays for this nation. I love it. It's a time when I personally start to reflect on my patriotism. It's a time when I begin to think about my love for this country. It's a time when I reflect on those that have come before us. There's many that have died in the name of giving us this freedom that we have to sit here this morning and to worship God in freedom. As I think about these things and my love for this country and the love for the freedoms we have, it's also a time, well, it's a time when I begin to kind of act like a little bit of a kid. I kind of start to smile, and I love the 4th of July, and it's a time when I start to think about, well, summer. It's a time when I start to think I love warm weather, and we definitely have it here today, but I love it. It's a time when I start to think about things like, well, it's time to grill out with our families. It's time to maybe have some homemade ice cream, hopefully, from my mother, hint, hint. And it's also a time when I love an American tradition to watch on TV, such as the Coney Island hot dog eating contest. These are all things that I look forward to and I love about this time of year. But that's not why we're together today, and that's not what I want to study. What I want to study is I want to reflect on this time that we have as we reflect on an upcoming holiday for this country, an Independence Day. I submit to you this morning that we can use this time to reflect on our walk with God. That we can measure ourselves up to the standards that Jesus Christ has laid out before us. And that's why I've entitled this lesson, One Nation Under God, with a question mark there. Are we truly a nation under God? What are we doing as Christians to make sure it remains a nation under God? We have duties to this nation. We have duties to Jesus Christ. And I want to reflect on these things with you this morning. I want to start out with you by looking in our outline, looking in our notes on the fact that we are a nation founded on facts. We truly are. Many people try to say, well, we're not really a nation founded on faith. The founding fathers didn't really care about God as much as people in history might say. But I want to refute that. I want to look at things this morning. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 33 first. Psalms chapter 33. Psalms chapter 33, I'd like to read verses 12 through 22 with you this morning before we begin and to look at our nation that is indeed founded on faith. Psalms chapter 33 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of His dwelling He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength." Verse 18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope is His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in You. Verse 18 again says, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, and whose hope is in Him. This morning I submit that we are a nation that fears the Lord, especially from our beginning. We'll look even in the beginning through the early colonies. 1607, the first permanent settlement in America was Jamestown. For anyone who loves history as I do, and you look in the documents, you'll notice that our nation is founded on facts. The first charter of Virginia reads from this first settlement, "We greatly commending and graciously accepting of their desires for the furtherance of so noble a work, which may, by the providence of Almighty God, hereafter tend to the glory of His divine majesty, in propagating of Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness and miserable ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God." Even the first people that came to this land, when they wrote out things to govern themselves, they wrote out things that had to do with God. Their purpose was to worship God. Their purpose to come to this place was to have a freedom to make sure they could worship God in spirit and in truth. Obviously, as we talk about these things this morning, we can't personally put a finger on the way they were worshiping. I'm not going to stand before you and say that I know that everything that they were doing may be true to the Word of God, but we can still understand that their heart was to serve the Lord. 1620, likewise, the Pilgrims set up a colony at Plymouth. And they had a governing document, too, called the Mayflower Compact. In it, this is what it says. It clearly states what they had come to this place for. And it says, "For the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." William Bradford, the second governor of Plymouth, said, "The colonists cherished a great hope and inward zeal of laying good foundations for the propagations and advance of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in the remote parts of the world." Are we a nation founded on faith? Yes, we are. Even before we were a country of America, those that came before us wanted to worship God. They even put it in their governing documents. I want to move on in history to look at what I'm going to call this morning, the wise builders. Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6, we have a parable from Jesus the Christ. And Jesus' parable talks about the wise man and the foolish man. In that parable, He talks about that who is wise builds upon the rock, the Word, the truth of the Gospel. He who is foolish builds upon his own thoughts, his own mind. I submit to you this morning that our founding fathers can be called wise builders, as the parable talks about, because they founded our nation on faith. They founded it on the true words of God. Again, many people try to discredit that this is the facts. A lot of people try to discredit that don't love God, that are atheists. They want to say, take God out of our country. It doesn't need to be. We never started that way, and you don't need to hear about it now. Well, for those that say that, I take you to some quotes from some of our founding fathers. Patrick Henry, the governor of Virginia, is quoted as saying, "It cannot be emphasized too clearly and too often that this nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." This nation is a wonderful nation that we live in. We have the opportunities that many people don't. Many people around the world live in nations where they can be shot, can be hung, can be put in jail for simply owning and carrying the Word of God. I think we as Americans, we take this for granted. And we need to be reminded from time to time this place that we live in. We live in a place where we can freely tell our neighbors and our friends about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were a nation founded on faith, as can be seen in Patrick Henry's quote. I'll also get a few more quotes. Benjamin Rush, which is one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, he's quoted as saying, "My only hope of salvation is in the infinite, transcendent love of God, manifested to the world by His death on His Son upon the cross. Nothing but the blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Indeed, a signer of the Declaration of Independence understood what Jesus Christ is. understand what He can do for our sins and wash them away. John Adams, our second president of this nation, is quoted as saying, "The general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God." We don't often hear these quotes in our nation today, do we? We don't on the 4th of July, on the Day of Independence. We don't often hear from our news on TV, remember our founding fathers, remember that they had a love for God. Things are a little bit different in the world we live in today, but we need to be reminded. I want to remind and show you some things this morning that shows us we live in a nation founded on faith, a place that we should love to be as Christians. We'll get one more quote with you. This comes from a letter written by John Hancock and John Adams. They say, "We recognize no sovereign but God, no king but Jesus." Are we a nation founded on faith? Many people say we are not. I submit to you this morning, obviously we are. These are just a few quotes. If time would allow, we could go over many things in history that I found in researching and reading that shows us that those that came before us had a love for God, and they did found this nation on their Lord Jesus Christ. But what about today? Are we still a nation founded on faith? Let's look at some modern day examples. I was surprised and greatly enthused to find that even today, Article 6 of the United States Military Code of Conduct, something for our U.S. military soldiers today, a part of what they need to know about how they should live, how they should be a soldier of our country. Here's what it says. It says, "I will never forget that I am an American, fighting for freedom, responsible for my actions, and dedicated to the principles which made my country free. I will trust in my God and in the United States of America." I didn't know that anything like that would be in a code of conduct for our soldiers. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now, we know that all of our soldiers aren't believers in God, but it just goes back to the fact of the nation we live in. We live in a place where this is what we're supposed to believe. Again, we may not hear it through our news and through current cultures, but we do live in a nation that loves God. Let me give you one more modern-day example before we move on. Ronald Reagan has been quoted as saying, "Inside the Bible's pages lie the answers to all problems mankind has ever known. I hope Americans will read and study the Bible." As we just read in Psalms chapter 33, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Truly, we live in a nation that's been blessed by God, and I submit that that's because a lot of those before us are believers in God, worshipers of Jesus Christ. And we are a nation founded on faith. Before we move on, I'd like to read some more scripture with you. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We've looked at the point that we do live in a nation, we do live in a country that was founded on faith, in a love for Jesus Christ, a knowledge that He is our Savior. But what happens on the other hand? Those who don't believe in Jesus Christ. I want us to read Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Sin is a reproach to any people. Let's turn our Bibles to the New Testament and in Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'd like to read with you this morning verses 1 and 2. We just read that those that believe in God are exalted, but those who are in sin are in reproach to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 also tells us, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." We see the two opposites here, don't we? We see righteousness to those that believe in God, and we also see righteousness here in Romans 8, 1 and 2. Those that believe in Jesus Christ, those that worship God and follow His commandments and not man's. But we see here that there is no condemnation for all of eternity. So with these thoughts in mind and seeing the two different ways that we can end up as Christians, as people, as a nation, well, unfortunately this morning I think that it's safe to say that we are a nation in spiritual decline. We read these scriptures and we understand that those that are not under God, well, they're in reproach, they're in sin, they are not in the everlasting care of Jesus Christ. Another quote from Ronald Reagan says, "Without God there is no virtue, because there's no prompting of the conscience. Without God we're mired in the material, the flat world that tells us only what the senses perceive. Without God there is a coarsening of the society. And without God, democracy will and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." Unfortunately, as Christians, we see the world around us. And I think it is safe to say that we're a nation in spiritual decline. But we're not a nation gone under. No, we're not. Not yet. We do, however, live in a culture, though, a culture that we're... People are so busy. People are distracted with their life, confused about religion. There's so many religious ways out there, so many false doctrines. They're confused about, well, which one's the true way? That is so sad that we live in a country where there's so many different teachings. People with honest hearts who love God can be led down the wrong way. And we live in a culture where, well, people are just simply less loyal to faith. Less loyal to faith. People today want to have a relationship with God, but many of them just want a relationship with God in a way that, well, that makes them happy. Makes them feel good inside. We live in a culture where so many people attend a religious service, but it's a service that really is just a touchy, feel-good message with the lack of any truth of the Word of God. And they just want to come away feeling like, I've worshipped God today. Everything's going to be good. I'm going to be successful now. I've been to a service. I've prayed. That's not how God wants to be worshipped. He wants to be worshipped the way He prescribes, not the way men want to do it. And unfortunately, I think we live in a culture where less people are loyal to faith. In a study done by the Barna Research Group in 2009, they found that 71% of those polled said that they will develop their own slate of religious beliefs rather than accept a package or belief promoted by a church or denomination. That is sad, my friends. That is sad that there are 71% of people that are polled that say, no thank you to the Word of God as it is. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a little bit of Christianity, maybe a little bit of Buddhism, maybe a little bit of Muslim, a little bit of something else. I'm going to take the parts I like and leave out the things that would actually be prohibitive to my lifestyle. It's sad that we have those around us like that. I want us to look at this morning, just a few stats before we come to a conclusion and we look at some things that we need to do as Christians. Some applications we need to take in ways we can make sure that we are standing strong in the Word of God and then make sure we keep this country a nation truly under God. Look at some statistics this morning. The first one I want to show you is about the activity of Christians. Now, as I say these things and show you these stats this morning, I do want to admit that I understand that all polls, you know, have an error, a margin of error. But I think we would be foolish to look at these things and not understand that there's a lot of truth to the things we're looking at. First, I have a chart up behind me on the screen. I want to show you that the activities in the past 7 days, this is a poll taken not by those that don't believe in God, but by those that consider themselves religious people, those who love God. In the last 7 days, people that were polled, did they read their Bible other than being at church? In 2001, only 37% of people said that I opened up my Bible and read it. Studied the Word of God besides when I came to assemble with a group. 2001, attended a church service. That goes up a little bit to 42%. But then look at really what Jesus wants from us. Look at what God expects for us as Christians. He doesn't expect us just to be a bunch of people that assemble on the first day as prescribed and nothing else. That's only a part of Christianity. Christianity is that we all work to spread the gospel. We all work to become better Christians and all work to understand the knowledge that is in the Bible and how it can apply to us. When those polled said that they volunteered, they did something outside of just coming to the assembly. Only 20% of people said that they actually volunteered to do anything. Going on, prayed to God. Well, 82% of those polled said they prayed to God, so that's a good thing. Look here again. Attended a Sunday school class. Only 19% of the people said that they actually wanted to come to a Sunday school class. So many people take for granted coming to a Sunday school class. We need to look at it as Christians as a free opportunity. No strings attached. Show up, open the Word of God, and learn more about Him. Learn more about how we can be better Christians. Why is that something we would ever miss? We need to make sure that we take every opportunity that we have to try to be at Sunday school classes. Whether it be for the adults or the kids, it is a great opportunity to ask questions, read, listen to a lesson. It's a free opportunity to make sure that your knowledge of the Scriptures grows. Participated in a small group that met for religious purposes, whether it be through a Bible study or a prayer group, only 16% of people. You could go on and on and look at these stats, but the thing I'm trying to show you this morning, so many Americans today that even say they're religious, say they love the Lord, well, they don't even want to show up for services. We live in a culture where they show up for services, they don't want to do anything extra. It's not what God expects from us. God expects us to be the kind of people that love Him, put Him first. Not only just attend services, but that we walk with Him daily. We do what we can to become better Christians. I'll look at another stat with you about church attendance. A Gallup poll was taken, and it was asked, how many of you attend a worship service? Now, the thing here we have to understand about a poll like this, when we ask, when the pollsters ask the people, of course, you don't want to lie, but you might feel that you do it a little bit more than you really do. You want to think good about yourself. So 40% of people said that, yeah, I attend church services. So another group thought, well, I want to see if that's right. I want to go back on those people that were polled, and I want to actually follow them and do some research and see if those 40% of people are actually attending services. Sadly, instead of 40% attending church, the research found that only 20% of those people were actually attending a church service. We live in a culture that doesn't want to have to go underneath the law of God. Doesn't have to be bothered with going to services. That's sad that we live in that kind of a day. I'll look at some more stats with you about the Bible and faith. First, about the Bible. 80% of Americans polled said that the Bible was the most influential book in history. That's a great thing. Everybody, whether they go to worship service, but whether they actually are active Christians, they at least understand, well, the Bible is influential. It is important. 91% of all households own at least one Bible. I think there's a two-sided way to see. That's a great thing that many people own a Bible. But then the research shows that they don't actually open it. They don't actually read it. We live in a nation that is, I think, in a spiritual decline. But that's not the end of the story. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. About faith, I think this is something we all need to pay a lot of attention to. This stat says nearly 60% of Americans say that they hold their current religious beliefs because of their parents. While that's a good thing that children have been raised to know the Lord, we have to be careful that we don't just teach our children just to come to church because it's what I said. Not to just come to Bible class because I'm telling you to, and you have to. We need to teach our children to own their faith, to love the Lord, love Jesus Christ, their Savior, because of what He did for them. Not just because we as parents tell them they have to love the Lord. We need to do everything we can as parents to make sure that we instill proper faith. Not just tell them, you must go to church service or else. It's so much more than that. The last stat I'll look at with you is about marriage and divorce of this country. In 2010, the number of marriages was almost 2.1 million. Look at the marriage rate. Per 1,000 people, 6.8 were married. On the bad side, look at the other stat. if 6.8% of 1,000 people were married, the divorce rate in 2010 was 3.4 per 1,000 in the population. That's almost half. That's half. We live in a place today where people don't live their lives based upon the Word of God. But it's up to us as Christians to change that. We live in a country where half of the people are getting divorced, that are getting married. We truly can say that we might be living in a nation in spiritual decline, but again, that is not the end. We need to remember Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach. That doesn't mean it can't be corrected. I want to close with you this morning by talking about some applications. We need to be a nation that we place under God. If you would, please agree with me, and we'll look at on the screen 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We can all be a people that go back to the Lord, and He will hear us. We read earlier in our reading in Hosea 14 about a nation of Israel that was called to come back to God. Just because we might live in a world that's in a spiritual decline, doesn't mean that's the end of the story, that we should just give up as Christians. We should go out and fight. We should fight and be soldiers for Jesus Christ. I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 with you before moving on. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 tell us, you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. As Christians, we are looked upon as God, as soldiers. You may not think of yourself as someone, you're just a little old person, you know, what can I do for the work of the Lord? You're seen as a soldier to God. You're seen as someone who can go out and spread the gospel. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. True, there's some things that are in spiritual decline, but we don't look at that and we don't get this attitude of, well, what can I do? Nobody cares about God anymore. That's not the way we're to act at all. We're supposed to be Christians who are working. We're supposed to be seen as soldiers doing things that would please our Father in heaven. So how can we make a difference? How can we make sure as Christians that we place this nation under God as it should be? Well, first I'll say that we need to be wise builders. Again, Matthew 7 and Luke 6, the parable of the wise builder and the foolish builder. We need to be wise builders that does everything on the Word of God. I submit to you that it starts at home. It starts at home. First, we need to do everything that we do based upon the Word of God, not by our own opinion. Take that a step further. Every decision we make as a husband and a wife, make those decisions based upon the Word of God. And guess what happens? That rolls down to our children. We teach our children that decisions we make are based upon the Word of God and not by just our own wants, our own needs. As we continue to do that as Christians, we'll continue to multiply Christians, continue to multiply those who love the Lord and follow Him, and we will all be wise builders and make sure this nation is under God. What else can we do besides make our decisions based on the Word of God? We need to be active Christians. We need to be active Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Also look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9 also go on to say the same thought. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Be active. Be active Christians, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There might be some of those around us that are in spiritual decline, but that doesn't mean you give up. You need to be a worker in the kingdom. Be active Christians. Don't just sit back and think, well, the active work, it's just the preacher, maybe just the elders, they're the ones that need to spread the gospel. I'm just supposed to obey God. No. We're to all to be workers. Don't allow yourself to be lazy. You know, one of the greatest things that Satan likes, one of the greatest things Satan loves is laziness. We saw those stats earlier about those that don't want to attend service, don't want to open up their Bible. Why? Well, because they have good intentions, but they get a little lazy. Satan wants nothing more for you and me to become a little lazy. To say, I want to grow as a Christian, but not today. I'm busy. I'd love to share the Word of God with one of my friends that I know is lost, but now's not a good time. That's what Satan wants us to do. God wants us to be active Christians. If we're active, we will be placing this nation under God. Thirdly, teach the truth. Teach the truth. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua's talking about that it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Stands on the truth. Peter says we ought to obey God rather than man. I say, I put this in regards to the marriage and divorce that we saw. Many people in this nation today, maybe they're not trying to disobey the Word of God. Maybe they just don't know. Maybe they don't know that when you get married, divorce should be not even a word that comes out of your mouth. Doesn't matter if you have a fight or you're not getting along so well at times. Divorce is not a word that should ever even leave your mouth when you're married. Teach the truth. Teach the truth to your children about marriage. Teach the truth about what God would have for a marriage. I was recently watching a TV show about this couple, an unmarried couple, that were trying to buy a house. And they were trying to make the decision, well, we want to get married, but we only have so much money saved up. We can either A, go ahead and buy this house and live together, or B, we can use the money to get married. They searched around for houses, and guess what? They found a house they really wanted. So they said, we'll get married later, but let's live together for right now. This is such a good house. We can't pass up on this. That's the kind of place we live in today where people don't know the truth. Don't know the truth that that's a sin to be living together before you're married. We need to teach the truth. It may not be the popular thing in society to tell that to people, but we have to teach the truth. How else will people know? We have to obey God rather than man. The last thing I have for us this morning, to be a nation that we place under God, leave a legacy. How can you make a difference? Leave a legacy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, having the same sentiment. We're to be people that let our light shine. Leave a legacy. You might think, what can I do in the kingdom of God? What can I do to help others become Christians? Leave a legacy. Leave a legacy for your children. For those of you who have grandchildren, make sure you're doing everything you can to make sure your grandchildren know about God. Live in such a way where they see the glory of God living in you. Live in such a way that when you pass, Christianity is not done. Live in a way that you make sure your next generation, your kids, your grandkids, they know about the Lord. When we do those things as Christians, we'll be living in a way that makes sure this nation continues to be under God for the rest of time until God comes back for Judgment Day. One nation under God. We have duties to the nation. We have duties to be workers. We need to be wise builders. Make all of our decisions upon the Word of God. Be active Christians. Teach the truth. Leave a legacy. Think about these things as you think, what can I do for the kingdom of God? What can I do to make sure this wonderful nation stays a nation that loves God and obeys Him? Be active Christians. Do everything you can to work in the kingdom of God. This morning, as we reflect on our nation, reflect on God, remember we read the scriptures that talked about a nation under God as one who's righteous, one who's seen as good in the eyes of the Lord? You need to understand this morning, as a nation under God is pleasing to Him, so is one of His created people. If you're not under God, if you've not been saved through baptism, you are not under God. Unfortunately, you're in a state of being lost. That can all change this morning. This morning, all you need to do is decide.
I want to be under God. I want to be pleasing to Him. I'm going to repent away from my sins. I'm going to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And I'm going to allow baptism to save me. We can help anyone this morning be placed under God through baptism. Or help anybody who needs the prayers of this congregation to restore yourself back to God. We ask you to come. Let us help you. Let this day be the day that you decide to give your life back to God or begin your journey with Him. We can help in any way. We ask you to come as we stand, as we sing. Won't you come?